It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And several things to talk about this week that are quite temporal right now. I think I'm going to first mention that I saw my last hummingbirds on the 20th of September. Now, those are just the ones that are visiting my house. The average last hummers for me is the 18th of September, so they were a couple days late, but, you know, they're not keeping track. They're just looking for a drink on their way south. So if you have, if you still have hummingbirds showing up at your house, send us a text and let us know where, because it's always interesting. The latest I ever had a report of a hummingbird in the Northland was October 8th. And that came from our retired engineer, Dan Haug. And that is as late as I have had a report of hummingbirds in the area. So keep an eye out. Last hummingbird should be coming through pretty quickly if they haven't already gone. The other note that I had that I heard reiterated this morning was the Daily Dose of Phenology talks about deer ticks. Give it a listen. It'll come up several times during the day today. But to let you know, on Saturday there were deer ticks, two deer ticks were found walking about on the top of my dog's fur. And that's kind of where I like to find them. My wife spotted these and encased them in scotch tape. Good way to make sure that they don't show up and plague you later. So watch for deer ticks. I have, as I explained in the Daily Dose of Phenology, I have an immediate reaction to a deer tick bite. They begin to itch, and then I can find them right away. So I'm not very off. I have had anaplasmosis, though I wasn't aware of it. But the evidence is in my bloodstream. So I have antibodies for anaplasmosis. So, but other than that, I've been pretty lucky. But if you're out in the woods right now, or planning on it in the next week or two or three, be aware that the deer ticks are still out and active and will remain so. I have had reports. I have seen deer ticks on just about, I think if I look at my notes, only December, January, and February remain as months without a report of deer ticks. And February might have fallen out of that list in this last year or two. I'm not sure, but not a lot of months where we don't have the opportunity to encounter a deer tick. The other thing that's been sort of big in the news, I mean, it's pretty hard to avoid, and I have seen a number, and those are the woolly bear caterpillars. And the woolly bear caterpillar is the caterpillar stage of the Isabella tiger moth, and it belongs to a big family of moths that are very colorful, but the Isabella tiger moth is not one of them. This moth could fly by you and you would barely notice. The forewings are kind of a faded yellow. The hind wings can be somewhere between yellow and slightly pinkish, or they're just, it's a real nondescript moth. If you see it, you're going to think there's a little gray moth. Basically, their colors are not sharp, but as a larva, they are pretty amazing. They are these woolly bear caterpillars that you see. And of course, the theory is the wider the orange band in the middle, the longer the winter. The truth behind that is the wider the orange band in the middle, the older the caterpillar. So every time the caterpillar goes through an instar, which is a shedding of its skin, that band gets wider. So if you see a really narrow band, that caterpillar's fairly young. If you see a really wide band, that caterpillar's fairly old. That has nothing to do with how they overwinter. They will survive the winter as caterpillars, and you may or may not see them crawling about. They have they're in the leaf litter. They, as things get cold, their body begins to make glycerol and sorbitol. Glycerol is an alcohol and sorbitol is a sugar. And together, those two function as antifreeze within the body of the caterpillar. And about 5% of its body weight becomes this alcohol or sugar. And so it's pretty well distributed through the body. And they can take temperatures down to about 7 degrees Fahrenheit. And you and I both know that there are much colder temperatures than that around here. But in the leaf litter and under a layer of snow, it seldom gets that cold. Mostly it hangs out in the upper 20s, low 30s. It's right near freezing. But these guys can handle down to about 7 degrees and even colder probably. But here's the thing. If they... And Bernd Heinrich, who wrote a book called Winter World, it talks about them. And he says that as long as they're in the larval stage, as long as they're caterpillars, they can handle the cold. And he did an experiment where he captured some in the fall, put them in a jar that he created an environment similar to the outside environment. He wanted to keep them where he could see them. Then he buried the jar in the dirt at the same level as the environment that he created so that it was sort of contiguous. It was at the same temperature in the same environment as the normal woolly bear would be. And when he dug that jar up in late February, those caterpillars were sleeping. They were inert. And they remained inert for a month until late March. And then in late March, they began to pupate, which is to, they drop their hairs, they form a cocoon, and they transpose from caterpillar to moth. At that point, when they're in their pupal stage, if you freeze them, they're dead. They cannot then, in their pupal stage, handle any cold at all. But if they're still in their caterpillar stage, their larval stage, they don't mind freezing and refreezing. They can. He took some out, captured some larval caterpillars, took them out, put them in his, warmed them up, put them in his freezer, took them back out. They woke up and started walking around. They were not at all impressed. As long as they're caterpillars, but once they pupate, they're done. Then it has to be warm, or they will freeze and die. So, when you see these little caterpillars walking about, think about the winter they're going to have. Think about the winter you're going to have. But remember, there's no association between the width of that orange band and the length of the winter. The caterpillar has no way of knowing what sort of a winter he's going to have in front of him. The ash trees in my area are yellow. Some are already bare of leaves. The balsam poplars are kind of brown looking. Mine is still looking less brown and somewhat green. So there's some leaves left on them. I have a few maples that have become fully red, but most of them are still approaching redness. My guess is that it'll be this weekend or early next week, probably before we reach our peak of color in terms of maples. And then following that, of course, it'll be the aspens and the willows and the tamaracks. I did see a tamarack yesterday that had just begun to change color. I could just see the beginnings of the yellow on some of the needles on one particular tamarack. I have seen a lot of flickers. I have seen a lot of, I actually have a starling and a couple of grackles that are hanging out at my feeder. I've seen monarch butterflies. I saw another one yesterday, and they are like, I've got records well into October on monarch butterflies. Among the flowers that I've been looking at, lots of, well, not lots. a few asters and a few goldenrods. Red clover, hoary alyssum, black-eyed Susans. What else have I seen? Those are the primary ones. Burr marigold along the shoreline. If you're in a swampy area, you might see these little sunflower-like flowers that are called burr marigolds. They're blooming right now. I've been watching the burdock in my yard. The leaves that emanated from the stem are brown, and the leaves that are on the side branches are yellow, and the fruit, or that burr of the burdock, is not yet free to disassociate. I rub my sleeve against them and see if they'll pull off the plant. And the plant that I'm looking at, they are still pretty tight. Woodbine, that vine that is bright red and probably growing up a balsam or spruce tree near you, or maybe a telephone pole, or it's a vining plant. It has passed its peak of color and is kind of moving toward dropping its leaves. I'm seeing a lot of woodbine leaves laying on the ground. I've been noticing a lot of bumblebees, and the one that it seems to be one particular species, and I didn't take the time to look it up, but it's a medium-sized bumblebee with a nearly totally black abdomen. I think at least half of the abdomen is black. There are no, it's a pale yellow and black, and the black is pretty much dominates the abdomen of that bumblebee, and I've been seeing quite a number of them. I've been watching the white-throated sparrows on my feeder, and the young ones are just starting to show a little yellow near their beaks. Those feathers, I think, are called lores, L-O-R-E-S, and they're just beginning to show a tiny bit of yellow. There are still a few robins around. I did see a northern harrier out over the fields, and as I approached it, it was chasing a songbird. Small brown bird, I couldn't tell what species, but this harrier was flying after it like, I'll have you for lunch if I can catch you. Well, the truth is, the northern harrier can't turn sharp enough to catch a little songbird. They can outmaneuver them, but it made me think that this might be a young bird. Oftentimes young birds, I once watched a young goshawk try to capture a pileated woodpecker, and the woodpecker was just disdainful almost of the attempts of this young goshawk to catch it. He would land on one side of the tree, the hawk would make a stoop at him, and he'd just hop around to the other side of the tree. He was almost playing with him. Well, this little songbird was not playing with the northern harrier, but certainly outmaneuvered it and got away, and then the harrier went on to do some diving over the fields. It was a female, large, brown, with a white rump. The males are silver and smaller than the females. What else? pardon me. Oh, northern holly. If you're out walking in the woods right now, keep an eye out for red berries. The northern holly berries are bright red, and some of them are just fantastic. I've got one on a swamp crossing. They typically grow near water. And at my house, because of the nature of the fruit, there's a seed in there, of course, and birds like to eat those seeds, eat those berries. They haven't started yet, but they will soon. And once they do, they'll fly down the trail. And if you're a bird, well, if you're in the woods and you just look off in the woods, you can see that flying would be difficult unless you got up high or stayed on a trail. And so these northern holly, once you kind of get the leaf size and shape and color in your mind, you're walking along and you'll see lots of these young northern holly growing along the edges of trails. So if you have northern holly, you will have more. The birds will help you plant them. There'll be plenty of opportunity there. Lots of red meadowhawk dragonflies. Most of them are autumn meadowhawks, but it's a little hard to tell. You need to get a close look. There's some white-faced meadowhawks out there as well. I just simply mark all of them as red meadowhawks. The males are red, the females are gold, and they are breeding and laying eggs right now as we speak. And a few blue darners still around, and I haven't gotten close enough to see if any of them are green darners, which is the migratory one. But there are certainly lots of them. Not lots, but I see a couple every day that I'm out, and that'll go on until I don't. So that's how it shapes up out there right now. I hope that you are getting out and enjoying the out-of-doors as I am, and keep your eyes open. And when you see something, send it along. We always love to hear from you.
That's the Phenology Show for this week. You can get more nature information by going to our website at kexe.org. Number of ways to dive deep. You can sign up for the Season Watch newsletter, connect with the Phenology podcast, all kinds of things. Or join the Season Watch Facebook page. Cool stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff out there. Just got a text from Bill. Bill said his wife Mary saw a hummingbird yesterday, right across the river from us. So still a few hummingbirds. There's always going to be, you know, you can't expect to see all of them. You can't expect to be everywhere all at once. So it's many eyes, helping to find these hummingbirds. So nice to hear from you, Bill. Mary, thanks for your sharp eyes. And the rest of you, if you have hummingbirds in your neighborhood, by all means, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.